seconds. Cowan thought about the three. Saw Oturu out there. Here's Wiggins. 4 seconds to go. Marcel, deep three. It's good! 1.9 seconds to go! And Maryland leads 74-73.
Maryland down by 17 last night. Come all the way back and win at Minnesota. Big win for the Terps. They're ranked ninth in the country, and they look to be solidly on a two-line, and they have a chance to clinch a share of the Big Ten championship with a win over Michigan State on Saturday. The Big Ten considered the best conference in America. You have to wonder if Maryland could somehow, if they maybe went out, play themselves into a number one seed for the NCAA tournament. The Big Ten kind of ahead of the curve. They played 20 conference games this year, started conference play early, and they're going to get a lot of teams into the NCAA tournament in the Big Dance. Now, part of that is some other conferences aren't quite as deep like the Big 12, but still, the Big 10 is the best conference in America. And quite honestly, it's not really that close. So Maryland with a big win, exciting fashion with the game-winning three with 1.9 to go, overcoming a 17-point deficit. All right, regional basketball. We had a little bit of it last night.
Yes, the Osborne girls advanced into the regional semifinals in Class 1A Rock Hills Regional with a 74-20 win over Northern Valley. Trinity Looters had 20 points. Ava stole 12, and Ryan Brown 10 to lead the way for Osborne there. So Osborne will move on to take on Logan in the semifinals coming up tomorrow, and that game will be the early game at 6 o'clock, and then at 7:30, Stockton will take on Thunder Ridge. Both of those games, by the way, tomorrow will be on Katy Country 94, so you can tune in for those from the Rock Hills Regional tomorrow night. Also, last night in the Central Plains Regional, both the Northern Plains League teams were beaten by Central Prairie League teams. Lacrosse winning over Sylvan Lucas on the girls' side 40-31, and Otis Bison beat Natoma 56-10. So both of those teams see their season come to a close there in the NPL. So as the results from last night's action, coming up tonight, we have high school basketball on Katy Country 94. We've got the one game from the Rock Hills Regional. We'll have pregame beginning around 7:20 and tip off at 7:30. The Osborne Logan boys won a regional semifinals up in Mankato on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. The other semifinal tonight up in Mankato is 6-seed Stockton taking on the 2-seed Northern Valley, and that'll be at 6 o'clock this evening as well. And we just have the one game on Katy Country 94, Osborne against Logan at 7:20 pregame and tip-off 7:30 around those times here tonight, depending on how long that first game would run. So also tonight in regional hoops on the boys' side in semifinals at Lincoln, Pike Valley, the number 3-seed taking on 2-seed Clifton Clyde at 6 o'clock, and then around 7:30 tonight, the number 5-seed Lynn will take on top seed St. John's Tipton in Lincoln. Those are the games going on in Lincoln. And then in the Central Plains Regional from our area, Natoma taking on Sylvan Lucas at 6 o'clock tonight. And then Central Plains against La Crosse at 7:30. So if you want to see all the brackets for regional basketball or look at the schedules for all your favorite teams, you can find it all at ncksports.com. So that's regional basketball tonight.
All right, so we've got tonight with Osborne and Logan boys, and then tomorrow we'll have the doubleheader of the girls' games, and we'll go ahead and keep it consistent. We'll keep it on Katy Country 94 because that'll be consistent with that regional all the way through Saturday, and then we will, if we've got area teams competing at the Lincoln regional, which we anticipate we will, then we will have games on Saturday. We plan on having four regional championship games on Saturday, two from Lincoln and two from Mankato. And we'll have state wrestling reports. More on that coming up in a moment, coming up tomorrow and Saturday as well. Let's go into the games tonight that we'll have on the radio. We have the one game. It is Logan and Osborne. They met last year in regionals. I remember covering that game. And Logan is a good team. You saw them the other night. Yeah. They're a team that's capable of doing some damage. And Jamie Walters impressed with Logan.
They do shoot the ball well. And they've got a lot of size and bigger kids, strong kids. You know, we're going to have to do a good job of boxing them out and rebounding and do a good job on their post. They've got a really, really nice post, a really nice player. I think he had 20. So we're going to have to make sure we have a good backfield group and, you know, do a good job in the post and take care of the ball. We're going to have to, you know, share the ball like we have. You know, hopefully we can hit some shots kind of like we have been, and hopefully we'll be okay.
Well, last time out, Osborne made shots, 28 threes, state record. Don't think they'll make that many tonight.
No.
But it will be interesting. Osborne, Logan boys tonight, pregame around 7:20 on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. St. John's Tipton boys are in action against Lynn, a team from the TVL. Once again, can't get caught up in the records. Coach Bergman knows that Lynn, their defense, could pose some problems.
I watched them on film. They played a 1-3-1 against Clifton Clyde, and then I seen them in a 2-3 against a different team, so we're going to have to get adjusted to that since it won't be man. more than likely, which, you know, that's just something we get a chance to practice for and get ready. But it's one of those things I told him, you know, like you mentioned, I know you guys mentioned it on the air, you know, the DVL, it's a tough league. Definitely one of the tougher leagues ever since I was playing in this area. And we could run into several teams coming out of it, so it'd be nice for us to be able to get a win and, you know, put one up for the NPL. But our boys have to be focused and realize, you know, this isn't just the typical 1-5 matchup. We've got to come out and be ready to play.
Very true. St. John's Tipton boys versus Lynn tonight. You run through the whole regional schedule for this evening. So now let's move on to sub-state brackets released by KCS Day for classes 2A and above. 1A, of course, will come out on Sunday after all the regionals are in the books. And we have teams, of course, in class 2A with Smith Center and Beloit in class 3A. So you can run through that for us.
Yeah, Beloit's games will be next week. The boys will play on Monday at 7 o'clock. Beloit, the number one seed, at they're hosting that sub-state all the way through. So they have home games all the way if they make it all the way through. The 8 seed Russell will be their opponent on Monday night at 7 o'clock. And that game will be on Katy Country 94 there on Monday. And then on Katy Country 94 Tuesday, the Beloit girls are the number 2 seed, taking on 7 seed Minneapolis at 7 o'clock in the first round of that 3A sub-state. Class 2A, Smith Center will be hosting on Monday night against Republic County. Smith Center, the 4 seed, Republic County, the 5, 7 o'clock Monday in Smith Center. And then on Tuesday, Smith Center will go to Ellis on the boys' side. The Redmen, the number 7 seed. Ellis is the number 2 seed in that sub-state in Class 2A. Full brackets for those sub-states, again, can be found at ncksports.com.
All right, 2, 3, 4A, all that. You can check it out.
Yep.
Athlete of the Week, we have a Beloit Lady Trojan who is instrumental in Beloit winning an outright league title.
Yes, Jessica Meyer, the ncksports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. And like Wade said, she had a huge week in helping the Lady Trojans to that outright NCAA league title. Last Tuesday, February 18th, in Beloit's 57-55 home win over Sacred Heart, she scored a career-high 26, made the game-winning layup at the buzzer, added 7 assists, 4 steals, 2 blocks, shot 63% from the floor in that game. So when you have 26 and shoot 63%, it's a great game. And then she followed that up with 23 points and 7 assists, 3 steals in the 54-47 win at Minneapolis on Friday. And that was the one that clinched the outright league championship. And then she scored in double figures again there on this Tuesday night. A 56-54 win at Smith Center, which she put up 11 points, added another 3 assists in that victory. For the season, Meyer second on the team in scoring, 13 points a game, scored in double figures 15 times, and team-high 33 three-pointers that she's made, and also leads the team with 5 assists and 3 steals a game, and also averaging 3.5 rebounds a game this year for Beloit. So great season, great week for Jessica Meyer, the NCKSSports.com Athlete of the Week. From Cunningham Telephone and Cable. If you'd like to nominate an athlete of the week, you can find out more information at ncksports.com.
All right, locker room chats today.
Locker room chats tonight. We'll talk to the head coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas this evening, as many of those teams have seen their seasons come to a close. Lakeside, Rock Hills are both done. We'll get the final thoughts for the season for a lot of those coaches, and those are coming up tonight at 5:15. Again, always online if you miss them at katycountry94.com.
All right, we'll preview state wrestling coming up tomorrow morning on our sportscast and also here on the Sports Ticket. And we have 13 area wrestlers competing out at State 321A out in Hayes. We'll have reports for you beginning around 10 o'clock tomorrow morning throughout the day. Then we'll update you on many of the last few matches that take place tomorrow evening during our basketball broadcast on Katy Country 94. Then we'll have reports throughout the day on Saturday as well. And then last couple of reports will be we'll drop in the results during our basketball coverage Saturday night for those regional championships in Class 1A. So we look forward to covering wrestling and regional basketball this week. And then next week, sub-state basketball. A week after that, hopefully state basketball. So a busy time for us, and we're looking forward to it. And hope you appreciate all the coverage. And a thank you to our sponsors for making it all very possible.
Yes.
Okay, Wichita State's back in action tonight. The Shockers are 20-7 on the season, 8-6 in conference play. They host Temple, and they really struggle when they go to Temple, but the good news is they're going to be at home for this one. And the Shockers will play tonight at 7 o'clock. You can watch it on ESPN. And that's one thing that's helped the Shockers go into a new conference is you get these games on Thursdays and Sundays, so you don't compete against the Big 12 and other conferences. So you get a platform, whereas the Missouri Valley, I don't even know if they're on TV. I'll be honest. I haven't followed the Missouri Valley since Wichita State left. I have no idea.
No.
You know, Creighton, of course, left.
It's
as
like
we know.
Creighton and Wichita left, and it's like, what's the point now?
Right. Yeah, right, exactly. So Wichita State in action tonight on ESPN against Temple, trying to strengthen. Right now in the bracketology, they're a 10 seed, which means they're not, like, they're in somewhat firmly, but they could easily be out with a couple of losses. So every game important the rest of the way for the Shockers. All right, the Royals are in spring training, and today is a very important day. Why? Well, it could be a landmark day because Salvador Perez, who was out all of last season with Tommy John surgery, he is expected to catch his first game since September 26th of 2018. That's right. He was hurt, remember, in spring training, early in spring training last year. And he is going to be back in the lineup behind the plate, it sounds like, today. So far this spring, he's 1-6 as a DH, but this will be the first time that he is going to be behind the plate since September of 2018. So hopefully that works out for him. The Royals had split games yesterday, split squad games, and they won one, lost the other. They lost to the Cubs 8-0. And also some of those young college pitchers that the Royals drafted a couple years ago. Brady Singer looked really good yesterday against the Cubs in the first inning. 1-2-3 first inning on ground outs. He struck out two, went up against Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo and handled them. Two pretty good hitters. Gave up three singles in the second, load the bases, but he struck out two, induced a ground out to escape the jam. And here's Brady Singer on his outing against the Cubs yesterday. He's a guy that you're watching in the future. Could be a big part of this Royals franchise and opportunity to maybe turn things around for this team that lost over 100 games a year ago.
First inning, I felt really strong. You know, I felt like keeping the fastball really low in the zone, the sinker was working well. And obviously the slider, I threw two pretty good changeups too, so I was definitely happy about that. And the second inning, you know, I got that leadoff hit, and then, you know, I got in a jam, but I worked my way out of it. You know, I dug deep and threw some quality pitches, and, you know, fastball wasn't really there too much the second inning, but I could rely on the slider pretty heavily, and I felt like I was mixing between both of them pretty well, so it got me out of the jam. Yeah, I mean, obviously when I heard their names, I was, all right, here we go. But, no, it's definitely cool. You know, that's awesome that I can go out there and get to pitch against those guys. You know, they're obviously big names, and they've done a lot, you know, for our sport. So
Brady Singer, pretty effective yesterday, worked out of a jam. That's a sign of a really good pitcher when you work out jams and you got strikeout stuff. Greg Holland making his return to the Royals, trying to make the team, and I think he might. Probably will, actually. He threw his second straight 1-2-3 inning this spring. He struck out two on his slider. His fastball velocity down around 92, 93, where his slider, though, is still pretty good. And so we'll see if Greg Holland refines everything there at the Royals, and maybe he could be an important piece to the puzzle for that Royals bullpen. We mentioned the Royals lost to the Cubs 8-0. They were split squad, which means they have two teams, two sets of players that go to two different games. They did beat the White Sox in surprise 7-6. Glenn Sparkman, a starter last year, pitched two perfect innings, striking out two. And Bubba Starling, who was out of options, had two hits against the White Sox, including his second homer of the spring. He knows he's fighting for a roster spot. And Jacob Junis, likely the Royals' number three starter this season, will make his spring debut today when the Royals travel to Phoenix to take on the Milwaukee Brewers at 2:05 here today. Hunter Dozier, of course, had a big year last year, 29 doubles, 10 triples, 26 homers, 84 RBIs, and missed some games due to injury. Mm-hmm. He says one of his focuses this year, because he has pretty good speed, is he wants to steal more bases. And I say, as long as you don't get hurt,
yeah,
go right on ahead. That would be great. What are the expectations for the Royals this year? What are your expectations for the Royals this year? Last year, 59 and 103.
I mean, I don't have any, like, unrealistic expectations, I don't think. Like we've talked about, they haven't done enough with the pitching, so I'm not really expecting anything outstanding. You would hope to get to, like, 70 wins or something like that.
That's exactly what I said yesterday, and you didn't hear me even talk about that yesterday.
No, it's just like,
I said 70-92 would be really a good year, 11 wins in the right direction with about the same pitching staff, unless these young guys come up midway through.
Yeah.
End up being big parts of this rotation or helping in the bullpen, because this pitching staff and this rotation, for the most part, is the same as last year.
Yeah. It's just because I'm just, like, you know, in my mind, I want to say I want to get to, like, you know, 78, 80 wins or something like that. But it's like you can't see it. I mean, it was only 59 last year, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite an improvement, actually, if you get to 70 with not much change in the pitching staff. But I can't think of anything that I just don't think they can be better than that.
I don't think they can probably either, because I look at the rotation. I mentioned this yesterday. Keller's your number one. He didn't get a lot of run support usually. He's solid, although I think he's a two for most teams, but he's a one.
Well, yeah.
Duffy, we don't know what to expect from him. Junis gives up a lot of home runs. He's a three starter for the Royals. He'd probably be a five for most teams, maybe four. Montgomery, you know, that's a guy who got off the scrap heap of the Cubs in a trade who, you know, wasn't bad last year, but he's not going to give you more than six innings normally, which means your bullpen's got to throw a third of a game. And then the fifth starter is completely up in the air. Jorge Lopez, Glenn Sparkman, I don't think they really like those guys, the fifth starters, maybe bullpen candidates. So I don't know who's going to be your fifth starter. The starting rotation doesn't look that good to me, but if you want to be an optimist, Keller has been good the last couple of years. Yeah. I mean, he has his stretches, but he can be dominant. He's still very young. Duffy, if he can go back to the form he had a few years ago when he was dominant and looked like a Cy Young candidate in the second half of the season back three or four years ago, that's a big if, but let's say he does. And then Junis can pitch like he's capable of, you know, as a three starter. Montgomery ends up pitching more consistently as the four. And then the five, you know, just does what a five does. Okay, now you can say, all right, that helps a little bit. Now the bullpen. The bullpen was really bad last year. Kennedy's your closer. Holland might help, but who's going to be guys that are going to be the top guys out of the bullpen? Tim Hill, Scott Barlow. I mean, I don't know. This bullpen scares me. Even if the rotation ends up doing pretty well,
it's just pitching in general.
We saw it last year when the rotation was good. The bullpen struggled. When the rotation struggled, the bullpen was better. The pitching's what scares me. But I think in order to get the 70 wins or more, a couple things have to happen. One, the pitching has to get better, which I don't know if it's going to. But if Hunter Dozier and Adalberto Mondesi and Salvador Perez all are healthy all year long, that changes this offense tremendously.
Yeah.
Because you've got Franco at third who can hit 25 to 30 homers. He's got pop. You've got O'Hearn who's got to be better than last year, you would think, if he ends up winning the first base job. You add Salvi in the equation. The Royals catchers didn't have any power last year. They had Martin Maldonado, and then they eventually traded him. They had Gallagher. They had Villarreal. You know, Salvi's good for at least 20 homers if he's healthy. So that's 20, 25 homers, maybe more, and 70, 80 RBIs, maybe more. And now if you get Mondesi, who was among the league leaders in stolen bases and triples and all this, and he missed a ton of time due to his shoulder injuries he had multiple times, if he can stay healthy all year at short, he's a star in the making. Lopez didn't play all year. Remember, he got called up, and now he's your second baseman. He should be better. Witt, we're assuming he's going to be like he is, although that's assuming something. People don't realize he's, what, 31? I mean, he's a little older than people think.
Yeah.
So, but he's center field. How's that going to treat his body? And then Dozier, if he can stay healthy, he's a guy that could easily put up 30 homers, 100 RBIs, and steal 25 bases, and maybe even hit 300. He's a tremendous hitter. Soler had 48 homers last year. Can he? His injury problems have been a problem for him in his whole career. Last year, he stayed healthy for once. Can he stay healthy all year long? And if he does, you would think he's good for 35 or more home runs.
Yeah.
And then there's Gordon in left field. And Gordon, of course, is going to bring you good defense. And if he hits like he did last year, that's a serviceable bat, maybe in the six or seven hole. So if you got, you know, Mondesi and Merrifield at the top of the lineup, that's as good of a 1-2 punch in all of baseball. Now you add in the power of Franco. You've got Dozier, Soler, and Perez. Now suddenly you're talking about scoring some runs, and I think that's what's going to – the offense is going to have scored a lot of runs in order for this team to win 7 or more, in my opinion, because I'm just not sold on the pitching. You know, but health is always a big thing. And then what happens if the Royals – what if Brad Keller gets hurt? I mean, they don't have – once again, they still don't have depth in that rotation. I don't think they want the college guys to be pitching at the major league level this year until maybe September. I think ideally that's what they like to do. But we might see these guys maybe here a little sooner than we maybe want or think they should be here. And maybe that'll all work out because the Royals are building for the future. This is still a rebuilding situation. Mike Matheny, the new manager. So things are going to be a little bit different how games are handled and managed. You got new ownership. Are they going to do anything at trade deadline? If you are somehow in the playoff race, are they going to do anything? Are they going to cut more salary? There's lots of questions with the Royals, but I'm with you. That's the number I said. I said yesterday, if they can get the 70-92, I think that'd be a pretty good season considering the concerns with the pitching staff. I guess there's a scenario where maybe they could get to 75. I just don't see anything above 75, not with this pitching.
No. I like to say, I like try to think about things that could go well, and it's just like, even if it goes well,
you've got to be the eternal optimist to think this team can get to 500, let alone if they can challenge for the division or a wild card, which that just doesn't, to me, equate. Yeah.
No, not at all.
Man. It's going to be fun, though. I will say this about the Royals, and we're going on our bus trip on May the 3rd, and this is not a shameless plug just to get people to go on the Royals bus trip. They're going to be fun to watch, though. I mean, Mondesi and Whit Merrifield and Dozier and Solera cranking homers, and Franco's going to add a bat in this lineup, and then Salvi, that adds a lot of excitement right there. Yeah. I mean, this team offensively can be really fun to watch and steal bases. I mean, they're going to be fun to watch. I just think we're going to go back to the time when the Royals had Carlos Beltran, Jermaine Dye, and Johnny Damon, and they scored a ton of runs, and they had Ricky Blotalico as their closer, and the pitching was atrocious, and the Royals scored tons of runs and still weren't very good.
Yeah.
That might be exciting and fun to watch, but does it translate into a winner? And right now, I don't think it does, but it will be fun to watch. I will go to a few games this year, no doubt, especially to watch Mondesi and Merrifield play. And now Salvi's back. That's pretty awesome. Soler can hit the ball about 480 feet. Dozier is a star in the making if he stays healthy. I mean, the Royals have some pieces in the lineup. There's no doubt. But here's the other thing. Then they play in a pitcher's park. Now, if those guys, if that offensive lineup was in, you know, played in Yankee Stadium or Fenway Park, I mean, for crying out loud, these guys would be making tons of money next year.
Yeah.
Have arbitration when they're eligible and if they're free agents, because their numbers would be inflated, just like Rocky hitters' and numbers are inflated when they play at home. Or Astro hitters inflated because they cheat at home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they'll be fun. And so it's I'm looking forward to it with the new manager, too, and all the stuff that goes with it. But it's just trying to figure out what kind of translation there's going to be as far as wins doesn't always look positive, but yeah, I'm looking forward to watching them. I'm not going to say I'm not. You always go into the season with hope, and maybe you're going to be wrong about something, and somebody's going to do something to surprise you, and that's what you hope for every year. You know,
it's hope. Yep. You have hope. It's spring training. You're hopeful.
It was nice.
Last year, the season was a dud right off the bat because Salvi got hurt at the very beginning of spring training. I was like, wow, that. There goes that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, 2015 was nice because it wasn't hope. It was expectations.
Sure.
And now you want it.
Yeah.
But now it's back to hope.
Yes, it's back to hope eternal. You're right.